The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, well, I think you're quite a cynical bunch out there. I started this morning by saying I saw this beautiful couple and they were having a little snog. Well, it was a big snog this morning on their way to work. And now it's a conspiracy. A lot of you seem to think that it's an affair. I read out one text. There's a couple more come in here that agree with the affair theory. On occasions, this person says, where I see couples in their 50s like myself holding hands, really paying attention to each other, I say to my husband of 36 years that they have to be in second unions or they have to be, you know, newly a couple. I get a nice, quick, loving kiss goodbye. Well, I don't know. That sounds like it's not enough for you. And if it's not enough for you, then you need to change things up a bit. Somebody who's giving me a little bit more light is this text. My husband makes the sign of the cross with holy water on my forehead. We give each other a peck on the lips with a smile. And that makes my morning. I love that. All right. Well, listen, somebody who actually will know a lot about this or may be able to give us an insight is Trish Murphy, who is a psychotherapist. Trish, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, you have come in to talk to us about collectors. But what do you think on that theory that people seem to have when couples are in a long-term relationship, the spark goes out and automatically then when they see an act of passion like that, that it must be a new relationship or it must be an affair?
Gosh, they could be right. Unfortunately, they could be right.
Really?
Well, I think it's the passion, you see. I think, of course, married couples can be very passionate, but they're unlikely to be passionate with their briefcases at the side of the road at 7 o'clock in the morning. But I do think it's a really good point, you know, to actually focus and give somebody a kiss before you leave, and not just a peck if you can. And I probably won't be passionate if it's your partner of 36 years, but really important.
Because it is those little things, I suppose.
Oh, God, yes.
Leaving the house.
What about the opposite? I think the opposite is more important. So when you meet in the evening, right, when we meet in the evening, we're often sitting there, you know, watching TV or doing something, throw a look over your shoulder and say, oh, yeah. You know, whereas if a stranger came in, you'd get up and meet them. And, you know, I think you should give a hug. I think you should definitely promise each other a hug every evening, a proper whole, you know, 30 second hug in the evening. And because, it would do wonderful things for you.
Because if you don't, which a lot of, I mean, what can happen?
Well, what can happen is that the only time you touch each other is, you know, when you happen to touch each other in bed or something. And that's horrible, horrible for everyone. So, you know, I know that the early stages of relationships, we've loads of passion. Definitely we do. But you get what you practice. So I say keep practicing and you'll keep it up and it'll still have that sense of passion later on.
I'm telling you, tomorrow morning on my way to work, I want to see couples everywhere wearing the face off each other at 6:30 in the morning. That's going to be my mission. Well, listen, back to collecting. That's why you're here to talk to us. We've been talking to people who collect things over the past week. And here's just a little reminder of some of the collectors to date.
Paper cups from coffee machines from South Korea. Well, this all started with my first visit to South Korea in 2004. I took coffees in coffee machines and I loved the coffee. Just delicious, sweet, milky coffee. So I took oft coffees and finally I have now about 300 different motifs.
Key rings. I've been in England about nearly 60 years. Now I've been collecting for about 20 years. Well, I just had a hobby and I used to collect motor cars, model motor cars and stuff like that, you know. Then I went on to key rings. I keep them in the garage in boxes. Oh, I've got them all kinds, from prisons to Alcatraz.
I collect glasses, specifically with names on them, you know, so either the brewer's name or if they're commemorating like World Cup or something like that. If we go out for a drink and I happen to see a really unusual glass, it comes home with me either in my pocket or my bag. So my legacy to my two sons is when I die, I leave a list and they go back to every pub I've been in or in the other parts of the world, country, or the world as well, and say, my mother borrowed this glass 20 years ago and I'm giving it back.
Rubber duck. Yeah, my nanny used to call me Ducky when I was a child, and when she died in 2000, I started to collect rubber ducks in her honour. It's got a bit out of hand, to be honest, though, John. Of 122 rubber ducks. Well, Imelda, she'd only let me put them in the downstairs toilet, so that's where they're confined. Yeah, my mother won't do her business in there. She doesn't like all the ducks looking at her, so she has to paddle upstairs to do her business.
I love that. Oh, there you go. And of course, collections, as we've seen there, they come in any form. Some people also collect compliments. Donald Trump collects skyscrapers. Napoleon collected countries. And joining me, you've met her already, psychotherapist Trish Murphy. Trish, just before we come to you, we've got a few collectors that have that are on the line. Freddie Hare from Ballyhaunus in Mayo. Good morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad. What's the weather doing in Ballyhaunus?
Beautiful this morning.
Good stuff. And did you give anybody a kiss this morning, Freddie?
I give her a kiss, but I give her a something else too for getting me into this mess. I know, but she'll get a bigger one this evening.
Very good, very good. All right, well, why did you contact us? What do you collect?
Well, my wife rang you up.
She threw you in the deep end.
That's possible. My main collection is the phone cards. I have around 21,000 at the moment.
21,000 phone cards?
Yeah, all different from 216 countries. I'm short of about 15 countries.
And this is obviously countries that you didn't go to. These are people bringing them back to you and you collected them.
Trading them with other people. I collect other items and trade them for the gift cards.
Well, is that worth any money?
Gift cards, phone cards.
Everybody
out there collects something.
Absolutely. But is that collection, the phone card collection, is it worth a few quid?
Let's say it, a few pounds, yeah, I'd say a pound or two. A few euro.
And come here, what does it give you? I mean, I've got a list of things here. Fruit stickers.
Yeah, they go back a long time. We had a shop when I was young and I used to collect them and stick them on a board. And then around 20 years ago, we were doing the shop up. So my sister gave me the board. So I picked that up again. And now I have over 8,000 different stickers from around the world.
Now, are these stickers that you'd have on apples and bananas?
Apples, bananas, pears, everything from right around the world.
Good for you. We heard a lady on there who collected drinking glasses by putting them in her handbag sometimes, but she's...
Oh, yeah, I was listening to her and I just said I had the same idea as her. I have the loan of them like her. I've opened 400 different glasses but I got them mostly from different publicans. I worked for Guinness down through the years and for the last 35 years and gave me them, you know, I had to ask and, yeah.
And this is another one, Freddie. Sugar packs. There's a couple of people that love the sugar packs.
Oh, yeah. Right around the world, there's people collecting them. I don't collect them myself, but I have hundreds and hundreds that I picked up and trade them on for other items.
So what would you say is your favourite piece in everything that you collect? What gives you the most happiness? Or what's the one thing that you come back to?
The phone cards. Trying to get at least one from each country in the world and island. I'm short 15, as I said.
Wow.
From small islands out and right around the world.
And so is it something that you still, are you still trying to collect those last bits?
Oh, yeah, I go on and I trade with guys right around the world.
Good for you. All right, Freddie, stay with us. We also have Mary O'Neill on the line. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
Gorgeous sunny morning here in Naas.
Is it? That's great
news. It is.
So what?
Absolutely beautiful.
Good for you. What do you collect?
Walking sticks.
Walking sticks. Go on. Enlighten us.
I don't know why, but about 25 years ago, I bought one in Wexford. It looked attractive, a lovely dog's head on it. And it took off since there. So now I have 49 from all over the world.
Fantastic. And where do you keep them?
I have a couple of containers. I have a lovely, an umbrella-shaped containers at a big birthday last year, and my sisters bought me this lovely umbrella shape that holds walking sticks.
Oh, lovely.
I have another vase, about ceramic vase, about 2 foot high. I have another wrought iron holder, and I have a wooden one. So between all those, they're scattered around the house.
And when people
in the hall, sitting room, dining room. So,
and when people come in, is it always a subject of conversation?
Yes. Yes.
And do you live on your own or do you have family or?
No, I have. I live with my partner and my son.
Okay. And how do they? Are they just used to you now at this stage?
Every They're time just you... used to me now. Yeah, yeah. I don't think they even see them. Yeah.
And when you go out to the shop, if you go
but
to Tesco,
I dust them and I look at them. And when I go out walking, I would take them. If I got a new one, I'd have to give it an airing around the lakes and in Nace.
Good for you. Well, that sounds lovely because some of those ornate old walking sticks are beautiful.
Yes, I have some. Yeah, I have some quite old. But I bought some lovely second-hand ones, especially in England, with lovely brass heads, you know, an eagle head.
Lovely.
And I have a lovely one my partner bought me in England in an antique shop. It's a squirrel on the top of it, but it's carved from bone.
Mm. Beautiful.
And it's very nice. And I have quite a few nice ones from Egypt. My sister lives out there, so I'm inclined to collect them there from there anytime I go. Lovely heads of kings and queens and snakes and all sorts of... And a few Irish ones. I have a very old Irish one that was my great-uncle's. He lived in Kilkenny in the late 1800s and my uncle had it and he brought it to Australia when he emigrated out there. So when I was there 7 years ago, my cousin says, here, you take that home where it belongs. So that's my oldest one.
That's fantastic. So, and also to keep it in the family as well. That's lovely.
This is it, yeah.
Stay on the line there, Mary.
I also have two that I work as an undertaker. And there was a gentleman asked me to dispose of two sticks that were left in our office. So I said to him, I collect walking sticks. Would you mind if I kept them? He said, I'd love it. He said, so I also have those.
They come in many, many forms. Now, Mary, stay on the line because I'm going to bring psychotherapist Trish back in here. Trish, you've been listening carefully there. So, I mean, I will admit as well, when I was very young, I used to collect, well, very young, I was about 12, soaps. And they came, it was a sort of a trend. The animal, you know, different animals, flowers, all different colours. And if anybody touched the soap and used it as soap, there was war in my house. Seriously, my mother could not use soap as soap. So why do we do this? Why do we have these hobbies?
Well, I suppose one of the biggest theories would be that hoarding or collecting is a survival skill. So one of the, you know, our ancestors hoarded things so that they could survive winter, so that they could survive. So in a way, it's a very healthy thing to do. You know, however, I think we start to imbue things or objects with emotions. So, you know, say we have lost something, say when you're, you know, forming your identity as a teenager, as you were, you might attach something, you know, with an emotional thing. So you connect with it and then you want more of it. But the danger is if something happens that, like your soap, then you start to feel anxious and stressed and angry, and that can become quite a problem.
Mm. Generally, though, I mean, just to say, you're saying that it's a happy side to collecting.
There's a continuum. And one side of the continuum is very happy, very healthy, normal, you know, stuff. And on the other side, then you will have that moving into, you know, control issues and obsessive issues. So, but for most of us, we collected something. You know, most of us collected something at some point in our lives.
So when does collecting become hoarding? When does that distinction happen?
Well, when it becomes a problem. So, you know, for most of us, our family or friends will start saying, do you think now you could get rid of some of those? And if you can't, that probably is a sign that you're over-attached to it. And I heard one of the women there was talking about how, you know, her children will have to go with all these glasses back, you know, to all the pubs, which sounds like a wonderful, you know, book. But I think for many families, you know, when the person leaves the planet, they probably get rid of all of the figurines or whatever it is that have been collected, feel a bit guilty about it, but probably don't keep it for another generation is what I suspect.
Mm. It shows individualism as well, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are weird in what we collect. And that can be fantastic. And it is a great topic of conversation. But just to say, when you cannot get into your bedroom any longer, when you can't talk about anything else, I think it's time to get some help with it.
OK, well, let's see. Tommy Holohan in Galway is also on the line. I think, Tommy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
I'm very good. You've been listening to Trish there. What do you think of what she's to say?
Well, I have been described as a hoarder by my two sons and my wife.
Right.
I'm not actually a hoarder. I collect rare documents, rare books. But there is a fine line between collecting and hoarding. There's a very fine line. You can go over it very, very easy.
Well, tell us about your collection then, your rare book collection.
I collect rare Irish books if I can, signatures or postcards. One book I came across, a Jesuit priest gave it to me. It was bought in England for £3. The title of the book is Dublin Castle in 1916 by Lean O'Brien. And he gave it to me, he said, and gave it to as a keepsake. And when I opened it up inside, it's inscribed to Maigre Pearse from Lean O'Brien, 1966.
Wow. Pádraic Pearse's sister.
Pádraic Pearse's sister.
Unbelievable.
And it was presented to her in the GPO in 1966.
And so how much is that worth? Me coming in with the money straight away.
Oh, I would say a couple of grand. About 2,000, I'd say.
Fantastic.
If it came up for sale.
Isn't that, that's, what a momentum to have.
Oh, how did it get to England?
Yeah.
It was bought in England by an old lady for £3.
That's a beautiful memento. I
mean,
that's, you can hear, Trish, you can hear from Tommy, that's something that he's very passionate about, and it's the history and it's a connection.
Yeah, and that's the really beautiful side, is that when you're passionate about something and you have lifelong interest, you become an expert, and it's a wonderful thing to have. So I'd say that many academics and many people who collect and become experts and always chasing the next most important thing, I mean, it's exciting, it's interesting, and then usually you get what you're looking for because you have an ear out for it, you will follow things to the end of the world, and that has to be really good for the rest of us who'll benefit from it. Mm. I'm not sure if you want to be the person doing it, but but the rest of us definitely benefit.
And there was a text here from a parent as well. It's, so it's not, children, I mean, it was fancy papers. Mm. For me back then, it was soap, it's stickers, it's stamps. So it should be encouraged.
Well, I neither encouraged or discouraged. I think it should be appreciated, you know. And I think many kids of about the ages of 10 to 14 will have symptoms of hoarding, and it's absolutely normal and absolutely grand. However, it appears that in your 40s to 50s, that's when collecting can become a problem, or hoarding can become a problem. So up until that point, it's probably something that's, you know, offers you stress release, it gives you something to focus on, and it can be really healthy and good for you.
All right, well, Trish, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us. We'll be back after this.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
Well, that is all from us today. One final text coming in from Paul. We don't wear the face off each other, but I give my wife a little pinch on the rear and she gives me a slap and we carry on for the rest of the day. On sound today was Kira Murphy. Researcher was Spiechik Zielinski. Producer was Sheila O'Callaghan. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. Peace of mind as standard. Quality guaranteed. Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.